Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I know that I am dealing with some form of low-grade depression, not just because of the quarantine, but because of the racial strife and just seeing this administration, watching the hypocrisy of it, waking up to how this administration has or has not responded, waking up to yet another story of a black man or a black person somehow being dehumanized or hurt or killed or falsely accused of something. It is exhausting.
That's former First Lady Michelle Obama, about 2 weeks ago, talking about what she described as low-grade depression. Her transparency on this issue lit up social media and refocused the issue of mental health for black women. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about this issue, especially as it has been exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. My guest is Dr. Sonia Ford, a licensed clinical professional counselor. And if you are feeling low-grade depression or even something much more severe as the result of the pandemic shutdown, or even before that, if you're looking for help, if you want to talk to somebody or talk about it, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Dr. Sonia, how are you?
Hello, Harold. I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm great. And, you know, I ask you that not just as a greeting, but I ask you that because I really want to know. How are you?
Well, how am I? You know, the appropriate thing is to say fine because people really don't want you to say anything beyond fine. But it is tough out here, especially with this COVID-19 and the distance and not being able to do your normal routine. So it is tough, but the key word is fine.
When you heard about Michelle Obama's very honest admission about feeling low-grade depression, were you surprised? I think initially I was, because we are talking about one of the most famous people, not in America, but in the world, a woman who has reached a certain level of privilege, of course, a woman who has reached a certain level of notoriety. And some people may be surprised that she would feel this way considering her status in the world community.
I was not surprised. I actually was not. I believe that everyone will at some point in their life struggle or have a challenge with their mental well-being. It's just like your physical well-being. I think, Harold, I need to say there's a difference between mental health and mental illness. So everyone has mental health. That's your well-being. It's how you feel, how you interact with others. But a mental illness is something that affects the way you think, feel, behave, the way you interact with others. And it's associated with distress or problems in your functioning, whether it's socially or at work or with your family doing activities. So there's a difference, but everyone at some point in their life will struggle and have that challenge with their mental well-being.
You know, she listed what she believes is the reason behind her low-grade depression, as she described it. And she was talking about what was happening. Certainly the pandemic was an issue. She was talking about the social justice issues, these Black Lives Matter issues, and its impact on her. How would you describe or differentiate the difference between what she described as a low-grade depression and someone who is feeling the blues or who has been in a situation where they are just constantly even irritated by the same kinds of things that she mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that when you think about a low-grade depression, you need to understand what that is. It's not a typical category in our DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual that has all these different disorders. It's sort of like dysthymia, which is a persistent mild depression. And the way you can categorize different levels of depression is how long it lasts, and also by the symptoms. So if it, like for dysthymia, it's a depressed mood that lingers for more than 2 months at a time, but then there's at least two symptoms that have to go along with that. So there's different types of depression. So she mentioned low-grade depression. So it's really the mood. It's that level of depression. And so that's how you differentiate between the different types, whether you have generalized anxiety or panic attacks or, you know, major depression, it's or major depressive disorder. It's all based on the symptoms and how long they last. And so when you think of dysthymia and this low-grade depression she's talking about, which is not dysthymia, you can have insomnia, you can have you're sleeping too, or you could be sleeping too much. You could be tired. There's a lack of energy. You may be feeling helpless. And with COVID-19 and with the racial tensions, you get those feelings of helplessness and hopelessness.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about Black women and mental health, specifically depression. Have you felt different since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic? Have the many issues that have arisen since the pandemic shutdown in March affected your mental health in a negative way? We want to hear from some women tonight who are having some struggles with that tonight. And if you are, certainly give us a call again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the other high-profile incidents of late, Tamar Braxton, it was reported that she had attempted suicide. And right before I went on the air, I looked at her Instagram page because she actually attempts to address the issue of her own mental health. It is very detailed. It is long, particularly for a social media post. It's three Instagram pages long. And she talks a lot about not only what has happened over the past handful of years, I would say, as it relates to her career and her life and everything else. But she goes on in quite a bit of detail about how she is recognizing that she has an issue with mental health. And, you know, once again, we are talking about, you know, a very high-profile person. But this says to me, Dr. Sonia, that you don't just have to be, you know, just a regular quote unquote woman to have this issue. This can happen to anyone. It can happen to the Michelle Obamas of the world. It can happen to the Tamar Braxtons of the world and others.
And I'm really proud that these ladies are speaking out because it's so important to eliminate the stigma surrounding mental health. So women are talking about it. Taraji P. Henson, Jennifer Lewis, former First Lady Michelle Obama, and even Tamar Braxton. It's so important because you have that image of a strong Black woman, you know, and because of our social roles, mom, wife, caretaker, even that, I remember that commercial, you know, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan. Like, you know, we're supposed to be able to do it all. We're super women. And there's this image out there that these strong Black women, that we cannot be vulnerable. And so we try to hold that up. We try to handle everything. We try to fix everything. But the problem is we don't take care of ourselves. We don't reach out for help. We focus on self-reliance. We focus on self-silence. We don't speak on it. So I think this is so powerful that it's coming to the forefront and that we're addressing it. So I'm so glad that you're bringing this topic to the forefront tonight.
I want to talk a little bit more about that as well. But first, I want to go back to the phone lines. We are talking about Black women and depression, focusing on mental health tonight on this Medical Monday, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tori, calling from Glen Burnie. Thanks for calling, Tori. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me. Good evening, all. I can actually relate. It took me decades to come to realization that I could not rely on self, and that I all the things that have impacted my life from childhood through my adulthood, far as relations with my family, things that I've been through on the job has terribly affected me with unprofessional supervisors and management. And it took one day just going for a physical, and my doctor wanted to ask a few mental health questions, which she had addressed that I had low-grade depression and referred me to get in contact with the therapist, which I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still a little challenging because I she did explain that I need to focus on the negative things as far as being more positive, confidence, self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question also would be, because it has not been addressed yet, because I do have that low energy, is it, I guess maybe my eating habits also may affect me, and is it, I guess, a good, you know, is it a reason also for me to change, help change my eating habits?
Well, Tori, I've got a lot of folks on the line. So let me get your question out so that we can try to get it answered quickly. But
my question would be, as far as changing my eating habits, would that be a good idea to also incorporate that with my therapy?
Okay. Well, let me see what Dr. Sonia has to say. Thank you so much for calling. Dr. Sonia, I'll let you answer that while she's off the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Tori. That's a great question, and thank you for being brave and sharing your story. Eating well is important. The way you eat can help you better manage the ups and downs of your days, and it can help you to increase your energy levels. So it is important to eat a healthy, you know, maintain a healthy diet. That's a good self-care practice.
Okay. Thank you, Tori, again, for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Allison calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Allison, are you there? Allison, give us a call back. One of the things that I think is very, very critical here is to try to address this, you know, immediately. And you spoke about the stigma of that, and that's very, very hard for a lot of women to deal with, because there is still so much stigma attached to mental health or mental illness, I should say.
There really is. There's barriers to having good mental health. There's that stigma. You have community disapproval. Sometimes you're afraid that they might just give you medications, and you don't want to do that. And so there are barriers. And in fact, Black women not only experience higher rates of depression, but they are less likely to seek treatment for depressive symptoms. So it's really important that you begin to focus on yourself. I always say, love yourself first every day. It's not being selfish. It's self-preservation. And we have to really preserve ourselves before we can help anybody else.
Before I go back to the phone lines, I don't want to get lost on this. What kind of resources are available for women who are listening to this program and they're wondering, you know, where do I go for help?
Well, there's lots of help out there. There's the NAMI hotline, the National Association of Mental Illness. They have a helpline. It's 800-950-6264. And so they're available to help. If you're feeling these thoughts, suicidal ideation, you can call the National Suicide Hotline, 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. There's also some other resources you can use to help yourself. There's an app called Calm, and that really helps you to meditate and calm yourself down. There's even a website called donothingfor2minutes.com where you really spend 2 minutes with yourself doing absolutely nothing. And let me tell you, it's very difficult to do nothing for 2 minutes. But if you try that every single day, it will really help you to center yourself.
Mm-hmm. I want to remind our listeners that all of the resources that are mentioned on this program will be on our website on WHUR.com, as well as the podcast after 9 p.m. if you missed those listed resources. Let me go back to the phone lines quickly. Allison, thanks for calling back. Calling from D.C., what's on your mind?
Hello. I wanted to ask the doctor to talk about anxiety and I guess treatment or how you help yourself with anxiety.
Allison, I'm going to ask you to hang on because I'm going to have to take a break in about 30 seconds, and we'll finish the answer to your question on the other side. You will be able to hear that also, Baron, as well. But Dr. Sonia, can you at least begin to address that?
Well, I'd like to say there's different types of anxiety, and so it is very important if you begin to feel these feelings of distress, it's really important to recognize that and then address it. So, Allison, what you're doing now is addressing it. So we can talk more about that after the commercial break.
Okay, Allison, please do not hang up. Baron, stay on the line. You will be able to hear the program. If you're trying to get through, please keep trying at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Sonia, of course, will be with us all the way up until 8 o'clock as we continue the discussion about Black women and depression. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. But this discussion continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in about 15 seconds. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about Black women and depression with my guest, Dr. Sonia Fort, licensed clinical professional counselor. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Allison and trying to address her question about anxiety. Is that how similar or dissimilar is anxiety to depression? And is that something that has become more common during the pandemic?
Well, I think it has become even more common during the pandemic because there's the unknown. And with anxiety, it's this anticipation that there's this something is coming, something is about to happen, and you worry about it. It's an excessive, persistent worry. And so that's what happens with anxiety. So with depression, it's more of the mood, it's more of the sadness. But with the anxiety, it's more of the worry that you have that, you know, you can have a refusal to go outside, you know, you'll stay away from home. Anxiety will prevent you from doing things that you're used to doing.
Are there physical manifestations with anxiety more than what we may see in depression?
Well, all of the disorders have physical manifestations. You can have heart palpitations. You can have headaches. You can have insomnia where you can't sleep. So all of them have physical symptoms. Well, they can have physical symptoms. They can manifest physically. Personally, I can tell you that when I was feeling extreme stress and a little depressed, I can tell you that I was having chest pains and I thought it was a heart attack and it was really that stress and anxiety overcoming me. I was having sharp pains down my arm and in my neck. And so it can manifest physically. So it's important to monitor your body and the symptoms that are predominantly happening to you.
Allison, again, thank you so much for your phone call and good health to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Baron, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
This is me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My name is Baron, and I'm in a mental hospital. And I want to say to black to African Americans, never go to a mental hospital. Never go to a psychiatrist. Never go to a psychologist. Going to a psychologist lead to a psychiatrist. Going to a psychiatrist lead to psychotic medication.
Well, Baron, let me stop you there, because while you are dealing with your own mental health challenges, over the many, many years, we have very much been in support of seeking counseling, whether it is psychiatric, psychological, spiritual, or otherwise. And so I cannot, in good conscience, allow anyone to come on this program and try to raise the difficulties of the stigma allowed. I appreciate you listening, but I don't want to do a disservice for those who may be dealing with their own challenges. Dr. Sonia, can you comment on what little we heard from him before we move on?
Yes, I think, we mentioned at the beginning about eliminating the stigma, and so we don't want people to fear getting help, because help is important. So you can go talk to a counselor and they will help you the best way they can. You may need more help and they'll help you that way as well. You may need medication. You may just need therapy. So it really depends on where you are in the moment on the type of help. But if you do not get help, then that's where the trouble begins. So it's very important to reach out and seek help. We have to eliminate the stigma. We have to know that it's okay not to be okay.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Northern Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I want to say that after some rough times in my life, specifically dealing with a job where I was being bullied, I ended up having to walk away from my job with the federal government. And so I've been seeing my therapist for years, and I'm so grateful to still have my therapist, especially during this time of COVID-19 and the racial justice unrest, because it's just been a lot to deal with, especially as a single black female.
How has your therapy helped you, briefly, if you can share that with me?
My therapy has helped me just kind of like stay mentally stable, and just not like when I see my therapist, it's like I have all these issues that I'm dealing with, a lot of emotions. And then it's like I see my therapist kind of levels me off to just kind of keep me at a stable place.
Well, Lisa, we wish you only the best of health, and thank you so much for calling us and being a part of this important conversation. Let me go to Crystal, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Crystal calling from Bethesda. Thanks for calling, Crystal. What's on your mind?
To see, like, what do you say to the black woman that does have it, that has a career? Like, I'm a manager for financial advisors. I just don't have a man, and so that's the one place I'm lacking. I have a Peloton. I go to Solid Core. Like, how do you fill in that void? What do you do to help fix that piece of it? Like, therapy can't fix that. Can it?
Did you hear a question, Sonia?
Not really. It was a little foggy.
Okay, so she was saying that she has a good job. She is, pursuing her physical health. She said her issue is a relationship issue where she does not have a man in her life. Obviously, that's something that she wants. And she's wondering whether or not therapy can help that. My question before throwing it to Dr. Sonia Crystal is, do you feel that you are feeling any mental health deficits because you're not having that special someone in your life?
Yeah, you see everybody else like your age having kids and getting married and like doing that whole thing, and it does bring that piece of like, well, wow, what am I doing wrong? Like,
Dr. Sonia.
Well, thank you. It's Lisa, right?
No, that's Crystal. So this is Crystal.
Oh, Crystal.
Yes.
Crystal, I think that, you know, that social connectedness piece is very important in our lives. But before you can connect to someone else, you know, you have to connect with yourself. So I understand that, you know, you have a good job and you're doing certain things in your life and you want a partner to be there with you. And you can't just go out and say, hey, here's a partner, and the partner magically appears. So you really have to work on that social connectedness piece, whether you're, you know, out with friends or loved ones, and it's where you hang out as well and what you're doing. So, yes.
And let's say, Dr. Sonia, if I may, nobody's hanging out right now because of the pandemic.
Exactly. You know? Nobody's hanging out right now. You can hang out online. Everybody's swiping left or right, okay? So you can hang out that way. But I really believe that you have to work on yourself, and when it's supposed to happen for you, it will. So you can't, number one, you can't compare yourself to your friends and what they're doing at this moment in their lives. So you have to not compare yourself with others and just work on you. I think that's the most important piece.
And I do have one more question for you, Crystal, before we, you know, we move on with the conversation. I often wonder, because this isn't, you know, the first time that someone has called in about this particular issue, but and Dr. Sonia, you can certainly comment on this as well. And this is maybe a rhetorical question, but how do you show up, you know, in those kinds of like dating situations? Because I would imagine, and I'm just speaking from a man's perspective, that if, you know, if you, you know, upon meeting a sister and if she is feeling down about that issue, that he's going to see that. He may not know what it is that he's seeing, but it may not be the best foot forward. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Dr. Sonia, your thoughts about that?
I agree. I agree with you completely. You have to really be comfortable with yourself, and others will see that, and they'll make connections with you based on you. Wherever you go, you take yourself. That's what I like to say. Wherever you go, you take yourself.
Well, Crystal, thank you so much for sharing with us. Hey, look, stay on that Peloton. I hear the result. I got a friend of mine who has one, and she's, what, 10 dress sizes down. So keep, you know, keep taking care of your physical health as well as your mental health. And I appreciate you calling it and having a bit of a sense of humor, certainly, in sharing with us. Crystal, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black women and mental health. So, you know, one of the things, Dr. Sonia, that I wanted to bring up, and this has to do with stigma versus how we look at mental health overall, in that, as you know, there was a time when you talked about getting on someone's couch for Black folks. You know, Black folks are like, no, I don't need to see a shrink. That's something that white folks do. That's something that you see in the movies. Black people don't do it because we've been through so much culturally, historically, blah, blah, blah. We were made to survive. And now, exactly. And yet, and now I can speak, you know, anecdotally that, and I do meet I meet a lot of sisters who are very, very open about therapy. They've been going through it, whether it's recently or for many, many years. Do you think that is a relatively new thing because the stigma has been lifted and it is part of the conversation, you know, pop culture conversation? Or do you believe that there are just there are just a lot of people out there who may have some mental health struggles.
I mean, I think there are people who have mental health struggles, but I also believe that the doors are opening wide for people to come in and get the help that they need. I think it begins, now you see more people willing to get help. When you think about it, now there's school counselors in the schools, even in elementary school now. When I was growing up, we didn't have a counselor until high school, and that was a guidance counselor, just getting you ready for college. But now there are counselors in the schools, even in kindergarten, where you can see a school counselor and talk about your problems. So it's normalizing that it's okay to get help. And so now you have these adults that were once kids who have seen school counselors who feel more comfortable getting counseling. And also because of the social media and because celebrities and these famous people are coming out and talking about their mental health issues, it's making it okay. It's not so taboo. You don't have to just keep it to yourself. And once you try it, you realize this is good for me.
But does this helps me. But does everybody need mental health counseling?
Well, there's other ways to cope as well. So if you think of healthy ways to reduce stress and anxiety, you know, you can just make time to unwind. Figure out ways you can sit down and unwind. Stay active. Exercising helps you. Eat healthy. That helps you. Find relaxing activities. Set goals for yourself and priorities that you can focus on so you have something to look forward to. So there are other ways to cope without seeing a counselor. But if you cannot handle it yourself, it is important to reach out for help. And even if it's not a therapist, at least talk to your doctor, your general practitioner. Mm-hmm. I think that's where you start, because your doctor will be able to tell you, no, it's not, you know, like I said, I thought I was having, you know, a heart attack. No, it's not your heart. You're stressed. You need to go see behavioral health. And it worked for me. So I know that it can work for others. So, yes, counselors need counseling at times as well.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Roxanne calling from Maryland. Roxanne, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi.
So basically what I described is two barriers to Black women seeking mental health treatment, one of which is just your interpersonal of seeing your ancestral women in your line being very strong women. So whenever you feel weak, you look to them, you feel that you're not allowed to feel stressed or overwhelmed or depressed. So I think that is one thing where you feel that if you admit to these feelings, then you're not carrying on that legacy of strong Black women.
Mm.
Another barrier that I see is your husband's. You come home and you're not even able to necessarily talk about your bad day at work, much less talking about feeling depressed. Because again, they themselves see you as, you're a strong Black woman. What are you talking about being depressed? So I just wanted to highlight that those are two barriers that prevent us from feeling weak, accepting that we're depressed, and seeking help.
Yeah. So let's talk about that second one, having been a husband at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I will take exception, Roxanne, to the issue that, you know, all, you know, husbands, you can paint all husbands with a broad brush. Every man is different. And whether you're talking about, you know, husbands or, you know, relationships, and they may receive the concerns of their wives or mates differently. And not all, you know, husbands, boyfriends, significant others are Neanderthal and will shut out the health concerns of their mate. And I would argue that the, you know, sometimes being woke isn't always about you know, social justice. Sometimes being woke means being woke about the health and welfare of your mate inside your home. With that said, however, Dr. Sonia, what on that point, and we can, you know, talk about the other, you know, strong Black woman thing as well, What would you say to husbands or boyfriends or significant others who are making sure that their mates are in the best mental health that they can be, and what should they look for if there's an issue? And maybe, how should they listen?
Well, listening is one of the most important things. That's why we have two ears and one mouth. So I think it's so important that we do listen, or that, you know, your mates listen, whether it's a male or a female. It is important to listen. That communication is so key. If you can open the lines of communication in your relationship where you can feel comfortable speaking honestly and openly with each other, then you can support each other better. You can make sure that each other is getting the care that they need. And so I think that communication piece is so important in relationships, because yes, strong Black women, it's out there. Everyone thinks we're strong Black women, but it's okay to be vulnerable. And as our caller mentioned, sometimes, you know, historically, we're told we're not supposed to be vulnerable, but we are. You cannot hold it all in. If you hold it all in, eventually you're going to blow like a volcano. So it is important to let it out. And it's important, if you have a mate, that you and your mate communicate about how you're feeling, so you can talk to each other and help each other. If that doesn't work and your mate is not supportive, then maybe you need a sister circle. You need a support group where you can release if you don't want to go to therapy. That's important as well. Mm.
Roxanne, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So how do you, as whether it's in a role as a significant other or just a friend, how do you help them with, a mental health challenge? And I'm not talking about the most serious form where we are talking about suicidal ideations, or where someone may need to be involuntarily, committed. I'll give you a brief example of a friend of mine who, since the pandemic, has really not left her apartment at all since March. She has some underlying health conditions, but she will go from the bedroom to the balcony and back, and that is it. And this goes back to the very beginning of this conversation that I had with you, when I speak to her and I say, how are you doing? And she says, I'm fine. Okay.
And Harold, I'd like to say she may be fine just because.
No, she's not. She's not. And this is why I say that, because okay. She said okay. That her girlfriends say they probably think that she is depressed. And I said, do you think so? And she's and her response is fascinating to me, because she'll say, probably, in that tone. Mm-hmm. So, and then my response is, okay, so do you have a plan to fix that? No. So how do you deal with someone who, pandemic or any other situation, realizes that they may have low grade or a higher grade, for lack of a better description, of depression, but refuses to address it?
I think the most important thing is to be there, to listen, to talk, to share, because people are not going to get help until they absolutely are ready to get it or forced to get it. And so your friend is not going to reach out or go beyond her door and her balcony until she is absolutely ready, which may not come. So as a friend, the only thing that you can do is be there to check in. That's the most important thing to do, is to check in. If you haven't heard from your friends in a while, check in just to see how they're doing. Just you talking to them is them able to communicate with someone beyond the four walls that they're seeing every single day. So I think that check-in does help. it's so important that they have family or friends that they can talk to, because they may not be ready to admit that there is a problem.
You know, one of the other things that I've noticed during the, you know, the pandemic, and talking to, you know, some of my good girlfriends, and talking to or watching social media, and there's got to be some scientific something about this, which is why you're here, that they often talk about, and I've heard it a lot over the past couple of months, I need to be somewhere near water.
I can relate.
Yeah, and so, okay, well, so what is that? Because, you know, whether it's, I'm fascinated by the healing powers of, you know, Black women specifically wanting to be near water. I saw on Facebook yesterday a friend went to Great Falls. Another friend and her fiance got out of the country. And that's a whole different conversation about traveling during the pandemic. But they were, you know, they were in Mexico on, you know, on the beach. And then, you know, another friend of mine, you know, said, I just have to be somewhere near water. What's going on with that?
Well, water has calming powers. If you just look at it and watch the waves and the tides ebb and flow, that's peaceful, just watching that. The sounds are peaceful. And so it's very calming. And that's why you have all of these apps, and even on YouTube, you can just click on a channel and you can just hear the ocean all day long. And it's very peaceful and very calming. It does something to you, and it's real.
Can you give me some other examples of self-care? Because when, as we talk about low-grade depression or just feeling the blues or feeling low because of where we are in the world right now, what are the best ways for self-care?
Well, I think there's several self-care practices that are very good for you. Number one is getting some good rest. That lack of sleep can really mess up your mood. So the lack of sleep will destabilize your mood, and it makes everything you do less effective. So it's very important to try and get at least 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep each night, because that will help you stabilize your mood. It's also important to make sure that you're active, that you move around, you exercise at least 30 minutes a day. I think that's so important for you. It gives you that boost of energy. I walk every morning, and it's a great way to start my day. It's important that you eat well. The caller earlier talked about her diet and whether, you know, she should change it. And I think that if you manage what you eat, it's going to help you manage the ups and downs of your days, because certain types of food gives you different types of energy levels. I think it's also important that you find some time to just meditate, where you take time for yourself. Mindfulness is very big right now, mindfulness meditation, where you really are in the present and you focus only on the present. So I think meditation is really great for you. And along with that meditation is also listening to the sounds of the ocean and birds chirping and that sort of thing. I think it's also important to connect with your friends or connect with others so that you're not isolating yourself and that you are really connecting. So find a social support group to help you reduce the stress and the effects of the depression. And really big, number one, know your limits. Know your limits. Begin to monitor your behavior, your signs and your symptoms, but know your limits. Know when you're at your wit's end and you really do need professional help.
So let's talk about one of the other things too, and finding some balance, because right now, as you know, Black people in general and very specifically Black women are being called out to make sure that they are paying attention to what is happening in our society as we come closer to November for voting. And we are seeing the Black Lives Matter issues, the man getting shot in Kenosha, Wisconsin on yesterday. And we can go on and on and on from, Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and all of that. And so you've got one side of folks, one side of your life saying you need to know what's going on. But then that kind of thing, as Michelle Obama mentioned, can take its toll on you. Don't you have to just shut it down sometimes?
You do have to shut it down. You have to set boundaries. You don't need the TV on news 24 hours. You have to give yourself time to just unplug.
Other than my show, but yes.
Other than your show, yes.
Exactly.
You have to take time
to help.
Unplug from the world so that you can just be with yourself and love yourself. It's so important to focus on you. And again, as I said earlier, it's okay to focus on yourself. It's not being selfish. Begin to reframe your thinking. Don't worry about the what if and focus on the what now. Focus on the right now.
Interesting. Not the what if, but the right now. Final comment for you before we close this conversation out, Dr. Sonia.
Well, I think it's very important that everyone takes the steps to work on self-care. I think that's so important. And again, I'd like to say, reach out to these hotlines if you feel like you're in crisis. The National Suicide Hotline, again, is 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. The NAMI helpline is 800-950-6264. So take care of you. Practice self-care.
There you go. Dr. Sonia Ford, I appreciate you coming in and chatting with us. And I hope that you are continuing to not only stay safe, but to self-care.
Thank you for having me. You as well.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, August 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.